couple of other things before we get into the lesson. If you may have noticed on the south side of the building, we've got scaffolding up there. We're finishing the work on the outside. Ladies, I would ask if you could keep your kids away from this side of the building. That includes the kid that you're married to. We don't want them climbing on the scaffolding. It's kind of messy and there's paint and that kind of stuff. And I mention that because Peggy's had a hard time keeping me off the scaffolding this week, so I know how that goes. So, the other thing that I want to mention to you is, you know, we're excited about what Jeff did this past week, and we sent a team last year to Athens, and this is something that we want to do going forward. We've done mission trips like this in the past. We've sent teams to Morocco. We've sent teams to Romania. And this is it's a great time for those of you who are called to do this to step into these places of ministry, to reach out to folks who maybe have never heard the gospel, who are kind of on the fringes of society. One team that went to Romania worked with the gypsies out there, and they really are on the outside of the society in Romania. So we're looking at more of these trips as we go forward. We've got a trip planned again to Athens later this year, but there are other places that we can go as well. So be in prayer about how the Lord would lead you in that area as well. All right, we're going to continue, as Buzz said, in John, and we are in chapter 11 this morning. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, we have extras in the back, and we'd like to get one to you so that you can follow along verse by verse as we go through this. But if you'll raise your hand, we'll get a Bible to you. We've got English and Spanish and German translations, but it's really easy, just like I'm doing right now. Raise your hand, and we'll get a Bible to you. So go ahead and turn there, John chapter 11, and we'll begin. But let's pray before we get started. Father, we thank you again for the day. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together, to join as a body, Lord, to minister to each other, to utilize the gifts that you have given us, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, that this is not just a time to come and listen to one guy speak or to a group of people play music. But Lord, there is more ministry that takes place as we come together. And I pray that you would, Lord, let us move in that. Give us the strength we need, the boldness we need to step out, to encourage each other. Speak to us through your word today and by your spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we were in the middle of a rather intense conversation last week when we ended. Jesus and Martha were talking. Jesus arrived late, at least according to Mary and Martha. Lazarus has now been dead for 4 days. And so Martha says to Jesus, you know, Lord, if you'd only been here, if you had come, we sent word for you to come, and if you'd only been here, my brother would still be alive. She says, Jesus, you're too late. What took you so long? I don't know, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever been in a situation where you have said, Lord, I need your help now. Come now. We need to work now. And there was silence. Crickets. It's kind of where Martha and Mary were. Well, Jesus now, he finally shows up and he says to her, he responds to Martha, well, he's going to rise again. He will rise in the resurrection. And that, you know, that sounds a little like the comfort that some well-meaning Christians give to those who have lost a loved one. And Martha, rather than embracing the reality of what Jesus said, she sees it as some kind of a theological principle. And she says, yeah, I know, in the resurrection, long time from now, doesn't really help me today. That's so far off, Lord. I need something right now. Do you ever find yourself in Martha's place? You know, when the Lord says something to you, he speaks to you about a relationship or about a situation or about a financial hardship that you're going through. And you say, well, yeah, okay, that's possible. I mean, I guess it could happen. It did happen to that guy over there, or it happened to them in the Old Testament way back when, but I don't know that it's really applicable to me. I don't know that the Lord's really going to bless. I don't know that the Lord is really going to heal, or the Lord is really going to restore. Guys, when we think that way, we limit God. We limit him in what he will do. And I'm not talking about his ultimate will. His ultimate will is going to be accomplished, and there's nothing that we can do to stop that or to prevent it. But what I'm talking about is in the short term, we shortchange ourselves when we have that kind of an attitude. Well, Jesus says to Martha after that, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he asked her if she believes, and she says, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah. You know, and I think God brings us to that point from time to time. You know, we know that he's the Messiah, but that particular knowledge, knowing that he is the Messiah, is somehow weighed down by the circumstances of our life. We know who he is. But there are things about our life situation that seem to tear away at what we know to be true about him. But guys, when everything is stripped away, when we are left alone with the knowledge that he is the Messiah, that he is the one, when we suffer loss, and all we have to hold on to is him, it brings us to that point of recognizing that he is all that we need. He is the only thing that we need. And so he takes us to those places to reveal that truth to us again. Verse 28 is where we pick up our study this morning. It says, having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, and so they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. So Martha comes in, tells Mary that Jesus has arrived and that he wants to see her. He wants to talk to her. And so she gets up quickly and takes off. And everybody in the house gets up and follows after Mary. Now, there's a curiosity here to me, because earlier in this chapter, Martha got up and went to the tomb or went to meet Jesus and nobody went with her. But now Mary gets up and everybody goes with Mary to the tomb. I'm not really sure what that says about Martha, but anyway, that's the situation. Everybody's going. And when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you'd only been there, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. Boy, Jesus doesn't get a break. Here, Mary comes and is saying the exact same thing that Martha said earlier. You can tell that these two ladies, these two sisters, have been talking. You know how sisters are. You know, they talk like this. Peggy gets on the phone with one of her sisters back in the States, and I go get in my car, go to the base and see a movie, because I know when I get back, she'll still be on the phone talking with her sister. That's just the way sisters are. And notice also how open she is. How open she is with him. She doesn't hold anything back. She's honest. And you know, we can be too. We can be honest with him about our frustrations and about our disappointments. You know, God, I don't get this. I don't understand why you're why you're allowing this. I don't understand. Lord, help me. And there's another lesson here for us that I think is really, really important. You know, in Luke chapter 10, we see Mary at Jesus' feet in a very good time. This was earlier in his ministry. And she is there at his feet listening to what he is saying. But here, we see her again at his feet in a very hard time. And this seems to be Mary's way of relating to Jesus. She just positions herself at his feet in days of delight and days of difficulty. What's a lesson I need to learn? You know, I'm quick to run to him when things are going bad, when there are problems in my life. But when things are good, man, I can kind of take him for granted. You know, I know I'm not alone in that. When things are well, we just kind of say, okay, Lord, tomorrow we'll talk. But if we wait until the problems come, it takes a while for us to get back into his presence. Not that he is not willing to receive us, because he loves his children and he wants to hear from us, but it takes us time to get our hearts back, our hearts ready to approach him properly. We need to be in constant communication with him. You know, if a child only talks to his parents when he's in deep trouble and never talks to them other than that, then you know that there's a problem in that family. There's an issue there. Every relationship requires consistent communication. We need to maintain a daily communion with God during the times of blessings so that we will be prepared, we'll be ready when the hard times come. You know, and I believe that we will avoid some of the hard times, some of the difficulties, if we will stay with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Spend time there. It's a good place to be. Verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was... Now, does my Bible have a misprint here? What does your Bible say? My Bible says he was angry in his spirit and deeply moved. Where have you put him, he asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. And in the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He goes from being angry to weeping. And boy, these two things are a curiosity to me. First, he was angry, deeply moved. Jesus clearly not happy about something that's going on here. Why was he angry? That's what I wonder. I want to share my opinion with you. We're not told exactly why he was angry. But I believe that his anger was at the ravages of sin and sin's result, which is death. Jesus came to earth to destroy Satan. He came here to destroy Satan, who holds the power of death over us, and to release those who have been held captive by him. He came to the world to deal with sin and death once and for all. He sees the hurt and the pain that we experience. He sees the hurt and the pain that is caused by sin in our lives and in the people that we know, people that we love. And it makes him angry. But he's not angry at us. He's angry at sin. He's angry at what it does. You know, too often we think that he's mad at us, or that he doesn't care because he didn't show up when we thought he should, or he didn't respond in the way that we thought he should. Because when he looks at our pain, he is troubled and he is angry. He's angry at sin. Again, not at you, not at me. He's not even angry at the person who is causing you sin. See, he loves that person just as much. So as these mourners wail and Mary cries, Jesus begins to weep. And this intrigues me too, because why is Jesus weeping here? I mean, he knows what's going to happen. He knows that Lazarus, he's going to pull him out of the tomb, and that in a few short moments, people are going to be celebrating. So what's he crying for? Why is he weeping here? Well, I think that he's weeping because he knows that sin kills, that sin stinks. And don't you feel the same way when you see the heartbreak that sin causes? Doesn't it break your heart when you see people who are hurting because of sin, sin in their own lives? And I think he's weeping too because he knows that not everybody is going to receive life. That in this group of people that there will be some who will say, nah, no thanks. And he knows that they will go to the ultimate death in eternity. And he's weeping for that. In verse 36, it says, So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, well, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? Some see Jesus' response, that he's weeping, and they assume that he's weeping because Lazarus is gone and he's sad that he's dead, but they completely misunderstand why Jesus is weeping. Others start to question his power. Couldn't Jesus have raised him? Couldn't he have healed him and brought him back to health? And the question is, yes and no. Yeah, he could have. I mean, he has the power. He has the ability to raise Lazarus back to good health. But he couldn't because that wasn't his plan. That wasn't what he wanted to accomplish. He wanted to accomplish something greater, something bigger. He wanted to show them, he wanted to teach them something that required Lazarus to die. And so he couldn't heal Lazarus. Then Jesus, again, angry in himself, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. And Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, he's already decaying. It's been 4 days. Now, sometimes you just have to go back to the old King James. The old King James just shines in some ways. And the old King James translates this, Mary, or Martha rather, talking to Jesus, and he says, Lord, by now he stinketh. Yeah, I bet he did. You know, after 4 days in the tomb, this was not going to smell good. And so she's saying to him, Lord, don't do this. You know, in this climate, he would have begun to decompose rapidly. And she says, Lord, it's not going to be good. Don't do this. It's going to stink. It's going to be bad. You know, and there's some things here for you and me. There are times when the Lord wants to do a work in us. But he says, first, the stone has got to be rolled away. There are things that need to be exposed. There's a problem here. It needs to be revealed. You know, God wants total access to everything in our lives. And, you know, we say on occasions, you know, Lord, no, not that. Not now, not this. I'm embarrassed by that, Lord. I'm ashamed of this. Lord, it stinks. And so Jesus says to Mary, he says to Martha, I gave you a promise, but there's a prerequisite for this. You got to roll the stone away. It's got to get exposed. Don't you think Jesus had the power to roll that stone away by himself? Yeah, I mean, in a few weeks, maybe just 2 weeks, he will roll another stone away. He has the ability to do this. But he says to Martha, I want you to roll the stone away. I made you a promise, but here's the precondition. Roll the stone away. Yeah, what's inside stinks. It's not going to be easy to deal with, but I can handle it. I can take care of it. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone. And then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I say this, so that they may believe you sent me. Everything he's done up to this point had a purpose. Everything was leading to this point. He allowed Lazarus to die. He let Mary and Martha go through just heartache and pain. He left Lazarus in the tomb. He left him rotting there for 4 days. And all of that so that he could demonstrate this to this crowd and to us. That he could show them and there would be no question as to who he is and the power that he has. And all of that leading to belief, that they would believe in him. Now, after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The Puritans used to say that Jesus had to be specific here, that he had to say Lazarus, because if he had just said come out, the whole graveyard would have emptied. And that would have freaked everybody out. But he says, "Lazarus, come out." And you got to understand, guys, there is a miracle of creation that's happening here. I know we have a few people here who come out of the medical community, and you probably have some idea of what has happened to this body. After 4 days, a body in decomposition is a mess. All of the internal organs have turned to a liquid, to a kind of a soup. If you've ever watched any of the CSI series, you've probably seen one episode where they dump some container out that's had a body in it, and it's just this soup of liquid that comes out, because that's what's inside the body. The eyes have disappeared. All of the lungs, all of the soft organs inside have just turned into this soup. The blood vessels are gone. The blood has, the granular part has drifted to the back of the body, which the body would have been laying on its back. All of these things taking place. Just what you want to hear right before lunch, I know. And in an instant, all of those things come back together again. The heart, the lung, the stomach, the brain, the heart begins to beat, the blood vessels are there, the blood comes back together in the vessels. It's a miracle of creation that happens in an instant when Jesus says his name, Lazarus. This is an amazing thing. It is a miracle of creation right before our eyes. And the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips, and with his face wrapped in cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him, let him go." I mean, imagine this. This guy comes out of the tomb. He's been in there for 4 days. Everybody knows what condition he should be in. And yet here he comes out. He's walking out wrapped in his grave clothes. And Jesus says, "Go unwrap him." And I'm sure they're all standing around going, "He's talking to you. I'm not going up there. That guy, he was dead, and now that's too creepy. It's too weird. I'm not. Somebody else go and unwrap him." Somebody does go. Somebody goes and unwraps him. Mary and Martha, I'm sure that they are elated. They've got to be excited to see their brother again. Lazarus, I don't think he's so excited. I mean, if you think about this, a moment before he was standing in the throne room of God, worshiping God, the angels of heaven surrounding him. He is there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, and Elijah, worshiping God. No pain, no discomfort of this life. Enjoying pleasures that we can't even begin to comprehend. And then all of a sudden, there's a tug at the back of his robe. And there's an angel saying, "Got some bad news. You got to go back." And he's going, "What? No, you got to, no, who said? I don't want." And the next thing he knows, he's in this stinking, rotten tomb wrapped in bedclothes, and he comes stumbling out. He's probably ready to shoot somebody. You know, "Send me back. Who did this?" You know, Jesus says in John chapter 5 that a day is coming when all who are in the grave will come roaring out. Let me ask you, those who are heartbroken over the loss of somebody, somebody close to you, what if the Lord said to you, you'll see him in 4 days. In 4 days, you get to see him again. You go, okay, I can deal with that. Yeah, that's not so bad. What if he said 3 weeks? Okay, 3 weeks. Yeah, it's a little bit longer, but okay. How about 6 months? 6 months, that's, yeah, a little tougher, but how about a year? How about 10 years? You see, now we start to get to reality. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus said to his disciples, it's going to be good for you to see this. It's going to be good because it's going to bring you to a point of believing. Of believing him, believing that he is God. Guys, we have that same belief. We're just waiting for the fourth day. For that fourth day when our loved ones will get up again. You know, if 4 days is okay, we can deal with that, or 3 weeks, even 6 months, a year. Let's go back to 6 months. I don't want to have to wait that long. I'd like to see him sooner than that. You know, he promised that we're all going to get up, all of us. You know, in some ways it's hard to receive because we live in this physical world and we are tied to it and we see people come and we see people go. But the believer, guys, we accept this. We accept this. We see it faintly at first. But then it begins to grow in clarity. The picture becomes more sharp. As we grow in grace, as we grow in the knowledge of God and of our Savior, he made us a promise. That promise is coming true. Verse 45 says, therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Now, isn't this amazing? Jesus raises a guy from the dead. He's dead and he brings him back to life. And some believe, and we understand that. But others go and tattle on him. I'm just amazed by this. You know, there was one point when they asked Jesus for proof as to who he was. And he said, you know what? They will not believe even if somebody rises from the dead. And here we see that. He brings Lazarus back from the dead and still there are those who refuse to believe. You know, some just choose not to believe. And I don't know why that is. It's just the truth. If you want to believe, if you know that you need to be saved, if you want to be a part of the resurrection, you can come to Jesus and receive the forgiveness of sins. You can have eternal life. But if you don't want to believe, then you won't. Even if you see the dead rise, it's amazing. We're going to finish here today. Well, next week we're going to pick up as the Sanhedrin begins to put together their plot to kill Jesus. They're done with listening to him, and they're done with all of the response of the crowd, and so they're going to put their plot together to kill him. Why don't you stand with me? We'll have the worship team come up and close us today. You know, sunlight has a different effect on different materials. Sunlight will harden clay and it will soften wax. And it's the same way with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are some hearts that it will soften. But there are other hearts that make it harder. What is your heart made out of? Is it clay or is it wax? You know, is the gospel of Jesus Christ speaking to you today? You will know the condition of your heart based on the response to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Is there something softening in you or hardening? What's taking place? If you're here today and you've never made that decision to come to Jesus, where it's our prayer, our hope, our desire that you would make that decision to follow him today, to come to him. We'll have our prayer team down here as we close, and they'll be happy to pray with you, to talk with you. But to those who are followers of Christ and you are going through a time of loss, going through a difficult time right now, I want you to be encouraged because God brings us to those points because he wants us to know that he's the only thing we really need, the only thing we can really depend on, the only thing that really gives life. Father, we thank you again for this time that we can come and worship you, that we can listen to your spirit. Just as we go through these passages, Lord, we know that you're speaking to us. Lord, have your will and have your way in this place today, in each heart, in each mind. Lord, just draw us all into your presence. Father, let us sit at your feet throughout this week and hear from you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.